Thank you, Stan, for stretching us a little bit. I'm learning a new song this morning. There we go. Working on it anyway. Welcome to each of you, and especially guests that have come our way this morning. Glad to have you with us as we share together from the Word of God this morning. Welcome back to camp, from camp. Those of you who have survived Sierra Bible Camp, that's great to have you home again with us. As briefly mentioned this morning, the 4th of July, of course, is this week as we celebrate our nation's independence and the freedoms and the privileges we have as Americans. And that's something worth celebrating, isn't it? We gather as families and friends to celebrate that day. But we also have an opportunity to celebrate that evening. Our Wednesday night Bible classes will be dismissed, but we're going to have a devotional instead at 7 o'clock. So in lieu of the classes that we normally have on Wednesday evening, this July 4th, we'll have a devotional service together and enjoy praising God for the freedoms that we have as Americans. This morning I direct your attention to Mark chapter 4. Please open your Bibles to Mark chapter 4 for our lesson. We'll be reading the text in just a few moments. I've titled the lesson, Matters of the Heart. It's the parable of the sower, Matters of the Heart. This is probably Jesus' most famous parable. And the parable is very well known, but sometimes I believe it's misunderstood. It's stretched into an allegory instead of being a parable. I encourage us this morning to look at this parable with some fresh eyes, particularly as we look at it in the historical context of Jesus' ministry in first century Judea. The Gospels, especially Mark, show us both the popularity and the criticisms of Jesus. Frankly, Jesus polarized people. Some folks loved him greatly, and other peoples feared him and wanted to get rid of him. In fact, he was nailed to the cross because of the jealousy of some Jewish leaders. Mark records that when Jesus' mother and brothers arrived to visit with him, he pointed to his disciples and said, "Well, these are my mothers and brothers and sisters. Who is this person who says such unusual things, who holds such unusual values? Some feared him and ran from him. Some embraced him." Let's see what you think as we look at this parable of the sower. Before we read from Mark chapter 4, I want you to know that verses 1 through 9 is the actual parable that Jesus gave to the crowd. And then chapter 4, verses 10 through 20, which we'll also read, is when Jesus unpacks the meaning of the parable to his disciples. So let's keep those two in contrast. The first 10 verses as Jesus talks to the crowd, or verse 1 through 9 to the crowd, and then verse 10 through 20 as he explains the parable to his disciples. Read with me. Mark chapter 4. Again, Jesus began to teach by the lake. The crowd that had gathered around him was so large, he got into the boat and he sat in on the lake while all the people were along the water's edge on the shore. He taught them many things by parables, and in his teaching he said, "Listen, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil, and it sprang up quickly, but because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among the thorns, which grew up and choked the plants, so they did not bear grain. Still others fell on good soil, and it came up and grew and produced a crop, multiplying 30, 60, or even 100 times." Then Jesus said, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." Then we continue with the explanation to the disciples. Verse 10. When he was alone, the 12 and the others around him asked him about the parables, and he told them, "The secrets of the kingdom of God has been given to you. But to those on the outside, everything is said in parables, so that they may be ever seeing but never perceiving, ever hearing but never understanding, otherwise they might turn and be forgiven." That is a quote from the book of Isaiah in the Old Testament. Then Jesus said to them, "Don't you understand this parable? How then will you understand any parable? The farmer sows the seed. The farmer sows the word. Some people are like the seed along the path where the word is sown, and as soon as they hear it, Satan comes and takes away the word that was sown in them. Others like seed sowed on the rocky places. Hear the word at once and receive it with joy, but since they have no root, they only last a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. And still others, like seed sown among thorns, hear the word. But the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, and the desire for things come in and choke the word, making it unfruitful. Others, like seed sown on good soil, hear the word, accept it, and produce a crop 30, 60, or even 100 times, which was sown. That is a familiar story. But let's look at it some fresh eyes this morning. How does this parable matter to us, 21st century America? Well, you've probably noticed not everyone in California is on the Jesus bandwagon. Not everybody in California likes Jesus. I'm not picking on California. You could say America. Some love Jesus. Some run from him. Some just aren't so sure. That's much like the first century. Another introductory thought. What is a parable? A parable is a comparison. In fact, the word parable literally means to throw alongside, to cast alongside, an illustration, if you will. It is a metaphor, but it's not an allegory. We'll discuss that in a moment. So the question becomes, if this is a parable, a point of comparison, what is Jesus saying? What is the point of comparison? What is the main point of the parable? Six words you can take home with you. Spiritual growth depends on the heart. Or we might say, spiritual growth depends on the soil in which the seed is planted, i.e. the heart of men. That, I believe, is the main point of Jesus' parable. I suggest that main point for this reason. Some have tried to make an allegory out of this parable and make all kinds of points of comparison that Jesus probably did not have in mind. But I personally believe what Jesus is saying is spiritual growth depends on the heart. It depends on the soil. The human heart is a soil where God's word is implanted, and the spiritual growth that I have is a reflection on my heart. Whether my heart is good soil or not so good soil. So I'd like you to say these six words with me. Spiritual growth depends on the heart. Six words to remember, and you've got the basics of the lesson. But let's move a little deeper. How do we apply that? Well, we need to look at our own hearts. We need to ask ourselves, how is our heart? What kind of soil is my heart? Is it the good soil? Is it the rocky soil where the seed springs up, but then there's no deep root and it kind of withers after a bit? Is it the thorny soil where it grows up, but it's choked out by the thorns, it's overtaken by the weeds, we would say today? Or is it the good soil that produces a crop 30, 60, or even 100-fold? We need to look first at our own hearts. Any of you remember this comic strip Pogo? Years ago, alligator back in the swamp. Well, Pogo had one of these sayings, the trouble with us is me. And the trouble with my spiritual growth ultimately comes down to who? It comes down to me. It's my heart that's hindering my relationship with God. The problem is not the seed, although seed sometimes is better, one kind of seed is better than the other. That's not the force of Jesus' parable. The seed is the Word of God. God's Word is pure. God's Word is perfect. You don't need to change the seed. Well, is the problem the sower? The sower's not doing a good job of broadcasting the seed? Jesus never addressed the sower having a problem with how he sowed the seed. What Jesus wanted us to see is the problem is in the receptivity of the human heart that receives the seed. That's where the problem is my heart. The hardness of my heart. Or the lack of depth of my heart for God's Word. Now I realize that some people are better teachers, better sowers of seed than others. Certainly I realize that. But that's not the force of Jesus' parable. The force of the parable is it matters how we receive the Word of God. It matters about our heart's openness to receive the will of God. Maybe you've heard this story. Grandpa and Grandma were driving down the road one day out for the Sunday afternoon drive in the country, and Grandma was getting a little reminiscent, and she kind of cleared her throat and said, Daddy, do you remember back when we were courting? Yep, he said. He had the wheel in his hands. Do you remember how we used to snuggle up and get real close together as we drove through the country? Yep, he said, smiled over at her. How come we don't do that no more? Grandpa simply had his hand on the wheel and said, well, I haven't moved. And that's the way it is about our relationship with God. God has not moved. We're the ones that move. We're the ones that harden our hearts. We're the ones that move away from God. We're the ones that lose the fire for God. We're the ones that have changed. You see, it's not the seed's fault. It's not the sower's fault. Some sow better than others. I understand that. But really, it's my heart's fault. That's what Jesus is telling us. So whose fault is it if I can't forgive others or even myself? Whose fault is it if I choose to forsake prayer, the reading of Scripture? Whose fault is it if I give up on the church because the church is imperfect? Whose fault is it as I begin talking like an unbeliever instead of a believer? Whose fault is it if I set aside my godly values and begin following the ways of the world? It's me. As Pogo said, the trouble with us is me. And my problem is my heart. It's the hardness of my heart. Now, you know the computer saying, G-I-G-O, right? Garbage in, garbage out. If you program a computer, those who know all this magic, my son's a software engineer, he understands it. He understands artificial intelligence. I don't understand the real kind, okay? Garbage in, garbage out. You write a bad program, you put bad information in the computer, bad things come out, right? Well, we're the same way as people. Garbage in, garbage out. If our hearts are hard, we must ask ourselves, what have I been feasting on? What have I been putting into my heart? One of the principles of Scripture is a man reaps what he sows. Galatians says it this way, do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. The one who sows to please his flesh, from the flesh will reap destruction. The one who sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. No wonder Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23, the passage I asked Stephen to read this morning says, above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. Brothers and sisters and friends, the heart matters. The heart matters because that's where the soil is, where the Word of God is implanted. And when my heart gets hard, I shouldn't be out there blaming everybody else. I need to start looking at me and asking, what's going on with me? What's causing me to harden my heart against God's Word? So what's the answer to a hard heart? It's a very difficult task, but it's a very possible task. It's called repentance. It's throwing yourself before God and saying, Lord, I've made bad choices. I've made wrong choices. I've not honored your name. I've not followed you. Lord, this is wrong and it's hurting me. And I'm going to make, with your help, a change in my life. Repentance is a spiritual U-turn. You realize you've been going the wrong way, you turn around and go the right way. When you know you need better soil in your heart. Proverbs chapter 3 says, trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all of your ways acknowledge Him and He will make your path straight. Be open to Him, trust Him, and obey Him. James reminds us with these words, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in the mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But the man who looks intently into the law that gives freedom, the perfect law that gives freedom, and continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard but doing it, he's blessed in all he does. James says when we look into the mirror of God's word, we see a reflection of our hearts. And it tells us what we need to change, what's going well and what we need to change. Pogo was right. The trouble with us is me. If spiritual growth depends on the heart, I must apply the scripture of the parable of the sower to my own life first and ask, how's my heart? How's my soil? But number two, the second application of this parable, the truth, the spiritual growth depends on the heart, is seen in the fact that when you sow the seed, realize that individual results will vary. Individual results will vary. Now, this was the message the early apostles of Jesus needed to hear. Jesus was about to send them out on ministry. to teach. And some people would welcome the disciples and others would despise them, just as they'd done Jesus. The apostles of Christ needed to know when you sow the seed, the results will vary. Some people will have a tender heart and be receptive to it. Some will not. You see, it's very easy to get discouraged in ministry because when you're sowing the seed to people, the receptivity depends on their hearts much more than your skill as a sower. And the disciples of Jesus needed to hear this from the mouth of the Lord because they're going to be working with some people who are going to be hard soil or thorny soil or rocky soil and some good soil. And they needed to understand that the situation varies according to the receiver. You watch a little TV, they come on with all kinds of ads, right? Use this thingamajig and you're going to lose 50 pounds. Read this book, it'll tell you how to get rich. Use this exercise and you will double your biceps. Take this pill, it'll cure your disease. And there's a little fine print down there to the bottom. It'll say something like this: individual results may vary. Which is a way of saying, it's not a sure thing if you take the pill. It's not a sure thing if you buy the machine. And the same is true for the gospel, but it's not the power of the gospel that's wrong. The problem is in the human heart. Because there's some that are not receptive to the gospel of Christ. And that's what Jesus wanted to tell his disciples. When you go out and preach and teach, when you go out and share the gospel message of Christ, some will be receptive and some will not. Don't let it get to you. Individual results will vary. You see, in the parable, some seed is sown on the path and is taken away by Satan as soon as it's sown, just like the birds would take the seed from the hard-packed path and eat it. Other seed is sown in rocky places, but there's enough soil that the seed begins to germinate, but it doesn't spread its roots deep, so rocky soil kills the plant after a while. Others, of course, are the good soil. We recognize that, and it grows well. But even the good soil has different props. Have you noticed that? 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold in the parable. It's been said that anyone can count the seeds of an apple, but it takes a person of faith to count the apples in a potential apples in a seed. Right? You can open an apple, you can count the seeds. This apple has 6 seeds, 7 seeds, 8 seeds, whatever. But it's really hard to know how many apples are going to come from a single seed, isn't it? How many apples are going to be on that tree? We don't know. And since spiritual growth depends on the heart, know that individual results are going to vary. Just recognize that as a truth. Now, since individual results are going to vary, we do not get discouraged. We continue to do God's work of sowing the seed. Amen? Now, not everybody's going to say yes. Not everybody's going to love Jesus. Not everybody wants the gospel. I understand that. But that doesn't mean we give up on what God has called us to do and to be, sowers of His Word. Notice that Jesus didn't say the farmer should have been more careful when he scattered the seed, and he should have only scattered it in the right places. That was not the point of the parable. God has not called us to be heart inspectors of others. We are to scatter the seed of the gospel freely, and it's not up to me to prejudge who is going to be receptive and who's not. I've been a minister for 37 years. I know there are guys that have a lot more experience than I do, but I've been around the block a time or two. One thing I've learned is this: I cannot tell you in advance who's going to accept the gospel and who won't. I gave up trying. If I just read this parable and thought about it, I would have given up long ago trying to figure out who would become a Christian and who would not. You see, we've had 7 folks baptized into Christ in this congregation in the last 4 months. 6 of those were not associated with this church in any shape, form, or fashion a year ago. And if you'd asked me a year ago, Mark, who's going to be baptized into Christ in the second quarter of 2018, I would have gone, well, let's see, probably this person, that person, this person. None of those except one I would have even known a year ago. You see how God works? You don't know who's going to accept the gospel. You don't know who's going to become a Christian. So my job is not to look at this soil and say, I'm not sure that's good soil. I'm not going to put any seed over there. No, the task is to scatter the seed and let God give the increase, because God surprises us. When I was in college, I met a young Christian named Bill. Bill was a little older than me. He was about 20. He had had a lot more life experience. In fact, he'd just been converted in a jail. And he was in jail because he was dealing drugs. And he was dealing drugs because he wanted drugs. And the best way to get the money for drugs was to deal in them. And he got caught and put in jail. And his life bottomed out, and he turned to Jesus. Well, he became a Christian. And over a number of years of growth, he eventually became a missionary, took the gospel to a nation in Africa for a number of years. He came back to the United States. He became a professional counselor. He now serves as an elder in the Lord's church. But the person who helped convert Bill and scattered that seed didn't come up to Bill and say, you've been in drugs. No use scattering the seed there. Praise God, there was no judgmentalism on the person's part who shared the gospel with Bill. You see, you cannot count how many apples have come from that single seed. I don't know how many people Bill has influenced in his life, but it's many. And that's the way the gospel works. I am not the judge of who's going to receive the gospel and who's not. Let's leave that to the person's heart. My job is to be a sower and casting out the seed and letting that seed fall. Where'd they? And some of it's going to fall into good hearts that are going to come to Christ. And like Bill, life be changed into the image of God. Do you remember a man named Ananias? I do. Acts chapter 9. The Lord appeared to Saul on the road to Damascus. Saul was going to Damascus to arrest Christians. He was persecuting the church. He was a Jewish believer, very strong in his faith, and he thought Christ was anathema. But God had plans for Saul. Listen to what happens. Acts chapter 9, beginning in verse 10. In Damascus there was a disciple named Ananias, and the Lord called to him in a vision, "Ananias." "Yes, Lord," he answered. The Lord told him, "Go to the house of Judas on Straight Street and ask for a man of Tarsus named Saul, for he's praying. In a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias come and place his hands on him to restore his sight." "Lord," Ananias said, "I have heard many reports about this man and all the harm he has done to your saints in Jerusalem. And now he has come with authority from the chief priest to arrest all who call on your name." Ananias says, "That's bad soil, Lord. You want me to go see Saul? Are you sure about that, Jesus?" Ananias went to the house and entered it. Placing his hands on Saul, he said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus who appeared to you on the road was coming here. He has sent me to you that you may see again, be filled with the Holy Spirit." And immediately something like scales fell from Saul's eyes and he could see again. And he got up and was baptized, and after taking some food, he regained his strength. Brothers and sisters, we do not know who's going to accept and who will not. Six simple words. Say them with me. Spiritual growth depends on the heart. Do I know other people's hearts? Sometimes I see some fruit of hearts, but I can't know for sure if they're going to accept the gospel or not. My job is not to decide beforehand who I sow the seed to. My job is to sow the seed. And don't get discouraged, because remember, individual results will vary. But this morning, you must also ask yourself, how's your heart with God? Are you open to His Word? Are you open to His truth? Are you open to being led by His Spirit instead of simply following the ways of the world? Are you open to the call of the gospel of Jesus Christ? If you haven't confessed your faith in Jesus before men and been buried with Him in baptism on the basis of your repentance and faith, we want you to make that decision this morning. There's some among us this morning that need to be baptized. There have been some I've been praying for in this congregation that need to make that decision to step across the line and step into Jesus Christ. Saul needed to hear the words of Ananias. Why do you wait? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins. This morning, if you've not made that choice for Jesus, turn your heart to Him. Soften your heart to Him. Let Him have His way with you. Let's stand and let's sing.